Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Coach's Corner. I got something fun for you today. We're going to be talking about relationships. Stay tuned. It's going to be fun. We're back with another edition of Coach's Corner. This is episode 64, Better Relationships for a Better Business. You're going to love what we have in store for you today. Today's episode is sponsored by Marketing Thunder. Get 7 days of full access for just $1 when you visit marketingthunder.com. Lots of great marketing training there and more coming. You get full access, like I said, to watch anything as much as you want for just $1 for 7 days. If you choose to stay on board, boy, it's only $97 a year. Welcome to Coach's Corner. Robert Imbrielli here. Happy to have you. Happy to be here having a little bit of fun on a Saturday afternoon. I know some of you are out playing and having fun. Well, this is my fun. This is what I enjoy doing. Got something great for you today. I'm bringing on a guest that is an expert in relationships. Now, I know it's the R word. I know a lot of people kind of go, ooh, relationships. It's one of those things we never learned in school, right? But I think it's really important for us as business owners, especially. We have a variety of relationships to deal with. First of all, the relationship with ourselves, right? That's number one. And the better that you make that relationship, the more successful you tend to be. It's an interesting correlation. But you have relationships with the family members. You have relationships with your significant other. You have relationship with those who work for you, your team. And of course, the most important of all is you have a relationship with your customers. And you kind of got to know when that one's going awry and when to let some of these customers go sometimes, because they'll drag you around by the nose and you don't want that to happen. So we're going to talk about all of that today. We're going to be a really loaded edition here of Coach's Corner. But I want to introduce my guest to you because I think you're really going to like what she has. Dr. Roberta Shaler is here, the relationship help doctor, relationship consultant, mediator and speaker. Roberta Shaler, PhD, the relationship help doctor, provides urgent and ongoing care for relationships in crisis. Her mission is to help people stop tolerating abuse. Even the United States Marines have sought her help. Dr. Shaler focuses on helping partners, exes, and adult children of the relentlessly difficult people she calls hijackles. I love that word. To stop the crazy making and save their sanity. Believe it or not, she is the author of 16 books, including Escaping the Hijackle Trap and Stop, That's Crazy Making. She hosts 3 podcasts, Emotional Savvy, Save Your Sanity, and Focus on Forward. Her YouTube channel, congratulations, Roberta, for Relationship Help has reached over 200,000 views. I'm so excited to have you here today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. We've got so much to talk about, Robert.
We absolutely do. And like I mentioned in the intro, you know, as far as business owners go, it's like we will tend oftentimes to not think that much about relationships. And you and I both have worked with a lot of business owners who, you know, not having a lot of success. And then you ask the daunting question, how are things going at home? And then you find out, well, I haven't spoken to my wife in months. And, you know, we sleep in separate bedrooms. And you go, well, I wonder why your business isn't doing well. These things are so intertwined. And we think in our minds we can unwind them and say, well, no, it's you know, that's the home thing. But I want to talk about the business thing. They're related.
They certainly are. And, you know, for some, it's not as related as others. But there is nothing in the world except relationships. Nothing. I mean, even the most basic particles, gluons, only come in pairs. So, you know, when you think about it from that point of view, relationship is all there is. And so we're always being affected by our mood, our relationship with ourselves, as you so wisely said. And then our relationships we have had have impacted and imprinted the way that we think of ourselves and the way that we do relationships. That's why it's always so exciting to say to someone, oh, all right, you're having difficulty, but the good news is you can learn. It's learning. It's like you would learn about your business. You would learn how to have a sales funnel. Well, you can learn how to have a conversation that leads to more emotional intimacy. You can learn these things. Key is, are you willing to?
Well, that comes up if there's enough pain.
Sometimes, right? But sometimes if there's enough pain, it's not enough. And then we have to recognize that's the case and say, all right, this needs to end. You know, I had someone write on my YouTube channel this morning, and she said, you know, I've got all of these issues with this person. My child is seeing a therapist for and taking medication for anxiety, and he's only 8 years old. What do you think I should do? Like, whoa, she said, you know, my faith tells me I should stay. I don't have a lot of money. What do you think I should do? And I said, well, let's step back here. Let's look at the fact that, does your husband recognize your child is in therapy and taking medication for anxiety? If your husband does, then he ought to be willing to come in and let's work together, find the areas of difficulty in whomever they are. It's not about fault. It's about finding something. You don't blame yourself when you need a root canal, right? You don't go and say, oh, so terrible, I should have flossed, and you make a terrible thing about it. You just go get the root canal so that you can move on in a healthy way. And you don't give yourself the root canal. You go to somebody who knows how to help you with that root canal. And that's the same thing we need to do with relationships. But we got to hang up about that for some folks. No, you don't fix your own BMW, right? I mean, very few people do because they're off busy being a coach or an attorney or whatever they're doing. You know, it's a funny story, but back in the day when I was single, I had just enough money after work on Fridays to go to my favorite bar for 3 hours and my children would be babysat. And so I would go and, you know, I'd meet a fellow and he would say, well, what's your name and what do you do, right? And I would say, well, you know, I have a PhD in psychology. Oh, no, 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 not on a Friday afternoon. We don't want any of that. And so I thought, oh, if I only got this brief window of time to meet other adults that are not in education, I better find a way to do it. So I thought about it. So the next time a fellow asked me, what did I do? I said, let me ask you a question first. He said, okay, because he'd already told me he's an attorney. I said, so do you fix your own car? He said, no, I don't. I said, why? He said, well, I have a Jaguar, and I wouldn't even dream of fixing it. I said, well, why not? You can go and learn how to fix a car, even a Jaguar. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't have time for that. I know all about being an attorney, but I don't know much about that. I said, okay, ask me what I do. And so he said, all right, what do you do? I said, I'm a life mechanic. I've spent my whole life learning how to help with relationships, just like your Jaguar dealer has spent all his time learning how to fix Jaguars. It's simple. I'm one of the people you have in your Rolodex. I go to the dentist, I go to the chiropractor, I go to the relationship consultant, and I go to the Jaguar dealer.
I love it. Where did you come up with that term, life mechanic? I love that. It's so descriptive. And, you know, that story, it's like, you know, exactly where it fits in your life.
Yeah, I made it up. I had to. I didn't want to stay single all my life, did I?
Obviously not. No, not at all. Great. So do you get to work with a lot of business owners? I know that you have a diverse client base. And when you work with business owners, what are some of the things that come up that you see more often than not with this specific community?
Well, one of the big things is that they are afraid to pick up a telephone, right? They like to hide behind their computers. They want to do everything that way. And business is a relationship business. You know, even if you're selling tacos out of your food truck, you can't expect to have a clientele if you're not there with a shiny face saying hello to the people. And so one of the big things about businesses is they don't want to talk to their customers. They don't want to hear feedback. They're afraid it will be negative. They are afraid to call someone because they think that other person will be afraid they're going to try and sell them. And so that's one major thing, is having healthy relationships with clients and prospects. And the other is not knowing what to do when there is a conflict. When something goes sideways, they don't feel confident and they don't feel competent or capable to deal with conflict. And that's huge.
Well, that's everything, because, you know, in business, no matter what, you're going to run into conflict. You're going to run into conflict sometimes with yourself. That's probably where it starts, right?
Yeah, it does. And I teach negotiation in the MBA program for the University of Texas in project management. And you will never be able to negotiate if you can't have a relationship, because you will be overbearing and just demand your own way, or you will acquiesce completely to stay out of conflict, and then you'll feel badly. So just basically, we need to feel like whole human beings much of the time. You know, there's going to be moments when we don't, but you can learn to change those moments, rectify those moments, look at yourself in the mirror and say, you matter, let's get on with this, and make a difference. But in the business world, it is all about relationships. I mean, why do we write copy? To create the right relationship.
To build rapport, to get people to understand that we know what we're talking about, to, set the stage for, our product or service is the solution to the problem they're facing. Yeah. And I see a lot of business owners. You mentioned pick up the phone, and pick up the phone is one of those things that's always been an issue, right? For, we know that business owners will do it. I see it in the electronic side too. It's like, I'll show people how to build a mailing list. They'll start to build a nice mailing list. They'll get a bunch of people on the mailing list, and I'll say, how many times did you mail your list? And they go, well, I haven't yet.
Yeah, that's
why not?
True.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. I was on a panel the other day at a conference, a media panel, and someone said, well, what about the list? What do you do with yours? I said, everybody gets at least one thing from me every day. And they went, I said, well, if they don't like it, you know, they can hit unsubscribe. But if they want more from me, they're getting more from me. It's not pushy. It's not, you know, hey, I thought about this. Hey, here's an article that you can use. Oh, there's a new YouTube channel. Now I'm doing a weekly live stream show on YouTube. It's coming up. You know, it's something to say, I want to be in relationship right. with you. I want to help you with your right. relationships. So I really take your point, because I ask that all the time. You know, well, I only have a small list. Great. How responsive are they? How much do you talk to them? Oh, I don't want to bother them. Well, they didn't sign up because they didn't want to be bothered. They signed up because they thought you had something of value to offer them.
Absolutely. I work a lot with chiropractors, and it's really interesting, because I'll ask them, it's like, how many times have you mailed your list, in the past month? And show of hands, once, twice, and there's no hands that go up. And I say, what are you waiting for? And one will pipe up and say, well, I mailed my list 6 months ago. I'm still waiting to see what happens.
For what?
And I'm like, do you know an email has a shelf life of less than 15 minutes? Right. You got to keep putting it out there. And like you say, I mean, there's really no fear in putting too much email out there. A lot of marketers I know do it daily. So I explained to them, too. You know, Dr. Mercola, how many times a week do you get email from him? Pretty much every day, right? And well, they go, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I listened to this great webinar with Luke Charlton one day. And he was talking about the fact that he had ways, which he shared, of how to introduce something and to make it very casual and to not be worried about perfection. But then he said, you know, we tested it and we got no unsubscribes at 13 emails a day. Now, that gave me permission to do it once a day.
Yeah.
Right? And that made a difference. And no, I don't mind when people unsubscribe, because in my world, that says they got really, really healthy and they don't need what I have to offer anymore. And they'll pop back in if they need something, or they're not ready for it. And it reminds them, oh no, I don't want to do that. And so, okay, great. You know where I am. You'll come back. I'm here for the people who are ready. You know, we just did a shift in our marketing just very, very recently. And the new header on forrelationshiphelp.com, all it has is my picture, my logo, and it says my name. And then it says, for when you're tired of being angry.
Nice.
Right? Nice. That's all you need to know about me. Come to see me when you're tired of being angry.
So when I look at these business owners who are fearful of picking up the telephone or fearful of sending out an email or posting something on a blog, or God forbid you say, hey, you should do a Facebook Live, right? It's like, no, I can't be anywhere where there's a camera, right? Yet we carry it around all the time. It always goes back to them feeling, what will people think?
Yeah.
And they're afraid of that notion. They're afraid, what will people think of me? Will they criticize me? Will they hate me? Will they be angry with me? Let's talk about that one a little bit, because that seems to be a big thing for a lot of people in business.
Well, you said the big thing right at the beginning, Robert. It's the relationship you have with yourself that predicates every look, every movement, every word, every feeling, every thought. And so I always say, if you're having any fear, do your own work. You know, work with somebody. I have lots and lots of clients who say, you know, I think I got a little work to do. No, their life, there's not a terrible mess and they're terrible people. They're just wise enough to recognize that, you know, I've seen this happen 2-3 times, not sure how to change it. I need some help. So definitely work on yourself. Do your own work, because then you know who you are, you know what you value, you know what your vision for your life is, you know what your vision for your business is, you know what your beliefs are about everything. I'm not just talking spiritual beliefs. I mean, what's your belief about money? What's your belief about, if I make a mistake, what will all those people do? What's your belief about the way the world works or people interact or what's possible or not possible? And then you look at what's your mission, what's your purpose, what's your next best steps? That's your own work. Who are you and who are you presenting yourself to be in the world? And if you haven't done that exploration, then you're out moving chess pieces without a knowledge of the game.
Ooh, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
You know, I think Jim Rohn had said that. He says, you know, you want to spend more time working on yourself than you do working on your business. And I think for a lot of people, it's easier to work on the business because it's sort of tangible. And it's away from me. Working on me is a hard thing to do. And people kind of like, you know, I know all that personal development stuff, not really that interested. And, you know, anytime I look at someone who I would refer to as very successful, they've done the work. They've put the time in. They've worked on themselves.
Okay, let me just play devil's advocate for a minute there, Robert, because I agree with you in the most healthy way. But then there are some people who fall in the category of hijackals that you mentioned, and they are so overbearing, they are so demanding, but they have risen to the place where no empathy, they don't care. They will do anything for a buck, and they'll squash you like a gnat. So there are two things. I mean, you can know yourself and have a wonderful business that you feel good about and people feel good about doing business with you. Or you can have somebody you don't like, they're really successful, you kind of resent that they're so successful because they're such a despicable way of being in the world. And yet, how did that happen? You know, so this is one of the things that we really need to talk about is this idea of hijackals. And I created that term and trademarked that term because too many people were going off to the internet and they're saying, you know, my partner behaves this way or my business partner behaves this way. And they think that the internet is a psychological professional, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the internet is an index and it comes back and it says, oh, that's narcissistic. Well, it may be narcissistic, but it doesn't make that other person a narcissist. Those are diagnoses. So I wanted to give us a non-clinical term that allowed us to recognize the patterns, traits, and cycles of the behaviors of people who are toxic. You know, whether they're a sociopath, a psychopath, a histrionic, maybe a borderline, certainly a narcissist, or they're just passive aggressive and they don't have any of that going. All of those people I just mentioned are all passive aggressive and something else. And then there are just the totally annoying people who are just passive aggressive. They won't do any of the other things, but they'll be passive aggressive. So I wanted this term so that we could all talk about that, because all hijackals drink from the same pool of traits. Doesn't matter what their title is in the psychological world. So hijackals, what are they? My definition. Hijackals are people who hijack a relationship for their own purposes and then relentlessly scavenge it for power, status, and control.
Good definition.
Thanks. So you know a business owner that behaves like that, that they're just out to take, and care about no one. So there are these two kind of silos of business, if you like, the ones that come from empowered self-awareness and the others that come from empowered self-interest.
We don't want to talk about them, though, in that way. I mean, we all run into them. It's really interesting because you look at the people who are very successful and you say, how did they get up there? They don't treat people well. They step on everyone's toes. They don't seem to care. They don't seem to have a moral compass. And yet, look at them. They're making millions. And I've run into them many times at seminars and, you know, back in the green room, and you get to meet them. And it's like, boy, these people are ruthless. I could never walk on stage and do what they do.
No, and I don't want to be able to either.
No, absolutely not. No, thank you.
No. So yes, those people are out there. You get their energy. You can almost feel them like trying to get you right from the stage or from the screen. Like, you know, come here, little girl. Have I ever got a refrigerator to sell you, little Eskimo? Right? You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens. And they play the long-term con. You know, that you know it. And it's sleazy and it feels bad, but then you say, but they're successful. I mean, you and I have had this conversation, Robert, in the early days of internet marketing back in just at the turn of the century. Don't you like that phrase? At the turn of the century.
I'm not feeling any younger here.
We went to so many things to learn how to be great internet marketers. And I came away, and I know we had the conversation, so I knew you came away needing a shower. Like, oh, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And yet we had this idea instilled in us that if you want to be effective and you want to be wealthy and you want to be successful, you have to forsake your values and do this. And it's not true.
If it were true, we wouldn't be successful. Right. Because we can't play that game. The people you talk about, it was one of the reasons I stopped speaking as much as I was doing. I was doing a lot of seminars and being on a lot of different panels and such. And it was just some of these people, you'd get in the elevator with them and, you know, they would say things like, yeah, how's your day going? Great. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for your presentation? Well, I'm going to rip every dollar out of everyone's pocket. That's my job today. I'm like, oh, really? Nothing about providing value, nothing about helping people, nothing. No, it's just, I'm here for the money. I'm going to do my presentation, collect the money, and I'm out of here.
Right. You know
scary.
I talked to one person. He said, I'm going to be so good at getting them to buy what I have that I don't even care if they take a second mortgage on their house to do it.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all met them. We know who they are.
Yeah.
We're not mentioning any names here, but we've been there.
Well, then you think about, what does relationship mean to them? It means you've got something, I want it, and you should give it to me.
Right.
It is not going to be reciprocal. You know, you've mentioned all the books that I've written. Well, one of the things that I have is my hallmark of a healthy relationship, whether it's at work or at home or wherever it is, three things have to be there. There has to be equality, reciprocity, and mutuality. And if those three things are not there, it is going to be unhealthy. It's going to have places. It's going to go regularly sideways.
What do you mean by mutuality? That's a word I hadn't heard before.
Well, I write a lot about that in my book, Kaizen for Couples, because that's where I started talking about it a lot. But mutuality means basically what's stated in the Golden Rule, which is a tenet that's in all of the 10 major religions in the world. There's a statement that's almost identical, meaning that, you know, you have to give of yourself, you have to do for other people what you would want done for you. You know, go the extra mile, be empathetic, have some willingness to be understanding, don't be in a rush, take into consideration where the other person is, give to them, have a relationship that is mutual. We're both benefiting from being in this relationship because we are prized as human beings, we are creating some emotional intimacy. that we believe we're safe with each other, and that's mutuality.
Nice. Great explanation. Yeah, I can see that. I can get the visual of what that looks like in a relationship and how exciting it would be to be in that kind of relationship.
You know, yeah, it's the only kind really worth having.
Yeah, well, but we don't, though. I mean, typically we don't. And, you know, we look in the business world and it tends to be more, you give me your money, I'll give you my product and good luck. You know, I mean,
bye-bye, yeah, until I send you an email in 30 seconds to upsell you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, or the customer says, hey, I don't like this. I'm not getting value. I want my money back. You know, then the relationship changes. The dynamic will always switch at that point.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, we have this opportunity of deciding who we are. You know, I used to do a lot of seminars, too, and I was a road warrior. You know, if this is Tuesday, it must be Detroit, you know. but in that whole thing, you know, the question was always, is there this reciprocity, you know, which is the second hallmark of healthy relationships? Is there that exchanged value? Can I count on you to have my back, or can I count on you to walk beside me even if it gets a little rough? That happens in the business world as well. Maybe you have a business partner, or you have a long-term relationship with a vendor. You have to have reciprocity. Each of us is going to screw up every now and again. You know, I had a woman say to me the other day, well, this person, she'd been my friend for forever, and we always said how much we loved each other. And then she said this to me. I dropped her like a hot potato. I said, oh, so basically you didn't love her. And she said, well, no, I did. But then she did this. I said, yeah, you didn't love her.
Conditional.
I said, if she, well, I don't believe in unconditional love, so that's a conversation right for another time. But what her point was, I will not stand for this one thing. And I said to her, well, if you actually loved her, your friend, did you have a conversation, a healing conversation about how upset you are about this one thing? Well, no, nobody's going to treat me like this. No, you have to make a distinction. You know, if you have a long-term relationship with someone that's been generally good and something goes sideways, then we go back to that fear of conversing, you know, to be able to solve a problem. That's why I took 263 hours of training to be a mediator, to help people have a good conversation together so that they can fix a problem when it comes up, or resolve an issue, or come to agreement about something that both people can live with. It's not like, well, today you did something I don't like, so I'm out of here. And that also generalizes to people's romantic relationships. They behave in ways, Robert, that I call surfing rather than diving. They're just wanting to be on the top of the wave, right? And then when something happens, they're not willing to go and sit on the bottom with you for a few minutes.
Oh, that's so powerful. What a great visual for that. Yeah, I can absolutely get that. They want the relationship when it's easy, and when it gets difficult, it's like, yeah, like fair weather friends is what we call them, right?
Well, yes. But, you know, it happens so frequently that someone has professed love and they don't know what it means. I mean, if you tell someone you love them, then the first time that they are offhand or having a bad day, or even the second or third time, you don't say, oh, well, then I'm out of here. You know, you say, hey, it's happening again. Let's make an agreement to have that not happen. Now, absolutely, we need boundaries. We need to know when to set a boundary. We need to know when to hold a boundary. And we need to know when to have consequences for a boundary, because that's strike three, right?
Right.
But you have to know that relationships go up and down some. And every now and again, they're going to bottom out. And you have to know how to manage that, how to have a conversation, how to heal that if that's what you want to do. And you need to know where to go to get help. So a life mechanic is a good idea.
It is very much a good idea. All right. So we've talked a little bit about running into hijackals. Let's go into that a little bit more, because I know that we run into it as employers. Sometimes we have employees that are like that, but oftentimes it's more often than not the boss that we're working for, or sometimes even the client we're working for.
So well, let me just say something about this. I was speaking at the California HR conference a couple of years ago on this very topic. And about halfway through the session, this brave soul put his hand up and he said, well, what happens to them in the organization? And I said, brace yourself. And everybody hushed. And I said, they get promoted. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's what happens. Well, having a hijackal type person in your organization is too frequently like a reverse pinball machine. They start at the bottom, but people don't want them around, so they give them a lateral or vertical promotion, and pretty soon they're going up in the organization by default, and they get to places of power. I was called in to coach the senior vice president of a restaurant chain. It's now gone defunct, so I can talk about it. But I walked into her office and I said, I know you've been sent here to spend 12 hours with me. And she said, but you can just sit over there because I'm going to work. And I said, well, that's one alternative. On the other hand, I have been sent in here to talk to you for 12 one-hour sessions, so I'm going to talk for an hour.
How did she respond to that one?
Well, she was a little taken aback because nobody talks to her like that, right? But I didn't do anything with any emotion. I just simply stated what I was going to do. I'm going to sit here and talk for an hour about how functional boards and teams run in the C-suite. And you can listen or not listen or do whatever you want to do, but I'd love it if you'd converse with me. And wow. She was very resentful. But, you know, after about 3 hours, she realized that maybe, just maybe, I had something of value to say. And maybe I wasn't so threatening. And maybe I was actually there to help her. Now, I'd love to tell you we made a huge difference. We didn't. We made some, but it wasn't huge. And, you know, I had advised them to fire her. But I don't know what they did, but apparently they didn't do everything right because they no longer. But, you know, this reverse pinball thing, Robert, is really important to recognize that if you have a problem in your team or your department and you pass that person on vertically or laterally without solving the problem, you didn't up your game, you didn't increase your skills, you didn't help that person, you didn't take care of the people and teach them how to deal with that kind of thing, you just got rid of the problem. But what did you do to the organization? Right?
You didn't do good for it. Yeah, no question.
You did no good for the organization because that person now feels like, oh, well, I got out of there. And look at the power that I had. I put them into a tizzy, and now look, I'm a little bit higher.
Right. And that just encourages them to keep going because they're getting rewarded for that behavior, which is the exact opposite of what you want to have happen, right?
Well, it's true. Mm. And yet on their hand, they don't have any other behaviors. So, you know, they're happy for just being acknowledged. Like, I'm powerful. Look, I got them to change. And that's the thing about hijackals. You know, we have to have compassion for them at a distance. You know, I'm all for having compassion for people who have had difficult lives. And these people have had difficult lives. They were born into a difficult situation. When their brain development was just beginning, and you know our brains grow till we're 25 years old. So in our very early years, even before we had language, that's where this stuff gets locked in. That's what the research shows us.
Yep.
So we can have compassion for that. It's sad that it happens to humans. But that doesn't mean that we have to condone or enable the behaviors to occur around us.
Or tolerate it, which is really what ends up happening. It's like, you know, like you said, it's really passing the buck when you get these people. It's like, get rid of them, put them into the department, stick them somewhere else, get them out of here. And it's not helpful because then you're just putting the problem somewhere else.
That's right.
Instead of dealing with it.
And you're not improving your organization at all. You may improve your day, but you missed learning. You know, and if you missed learning, did you really educate your team? And relationship is all there is. So there's going to be another one come along. And what are we going to do? Repeat the experience of getting rid of? Or are we actually going to learn how to communicate, how to solve issues, and to see what's possible with the person when we use good skills? And if it's still not possible, then we make a decision. But we don't send them on to become someone else's problem. We tell them that either they do it the way that our company policy is, or our code of ethics is, or whatever, or our values are, or you can't be here. Now, I recognize the hijackers have families and they need to earn money and they need to buy food. I'm not suggesting we be unkind. I'm suggesting that we be healthy.
So let's talk about that, because, you know, there's probably a lot of people listening to this today or watching this that are in those kind of situations, working under those people. What would you suggest they do? How do they handle the situation?
Well, you know, I'm going to say that they get some training. And it's not because you and I are trainers that and people who can help that we tell people to use people like us. It's because why we get up in the morning is to make someone else's life better.
Right.
Right? So, you know, you mentioned the fact that when you were reading my intro that I've worked the Marines. Well, you take a situation like that. You've got enlisted personnel. You've got officers. You've got non-commissioned officers. You've got retired military personnel. You have managers. You have excluded managers. You have civilians. All that in one office.
Oh, wow.
Now, let's think about that. All those strata knew how to behave with the strata above them. Then you put them onto a team. So let's say I am an enlisted person and I have a really good idea, but that top-ranking military official is not really interested in hearing a good idea because it's my way or the highway, and you take orders from me. And so we have that mentality. How do we come together around a table and mediate when things get tough? You know, it's difficult. So let's generalize that to any board meeting, any team meeting, and say, all right, maybe it's not enlisted, retired, excluded. Maybe it's your husband came from one kind of family. Your mother-in-law came from another, the wife came from a third, and now we're in a different culture. Okay. All those things had expectations. If we don't talk about them, we will never solve them.
So training is the way to get that, because those are conversations you need to have. It's sort of one-on-one. It's not in a public forum.
No, right? No.
You're not going to get that in a seminar, attending a seminar. There's no way.
No, yeah. You're not. And you deserve to get those answers because it will move you forward. It will make you feel more competent. And when you feel more competent, you'll feel more comfortable and confident. And so then the next time something shows up, you don't feel like, oh, I'm going to go and hide under a rock somewhere. You say, oh, I know a little bit about what kind of questions to ask to move this down the road a bit. You feel a little better. Mm-hmm. So you do it.
Nice. So as the employee getting some training on how to deal with this, real important to do, which one of your books would you recommend if somebody was in that situation and wanted to learn? Tell me.
Well, I don't have one right here beside me, but I wrote a book for the workplace, and it's called Wrestling Rhinos, Conquering Conflict in the Wilds of Work.
Nice.
And that one for sure, you know, for sure read that. In fact, we use that as an additional text at the University of Texas, because in there, it's just fast, like how to have things about anger management, communication, conflict management, why you should be very careful about how to use email.
Yes.
You know,
all the way to communicate, by the way.
Yeah. Three things only: congratulations, confirmation. You know, those are very important. And when you confirm something, I think this just happened. I think we just made this agreement. You know, so we have several things there that they're useful for. And what they're not useful for is feelings. Do not use email and feelings, okay?
Don't try to solve problems in your relationship by texting. It doesn't work.
And don't break up with anybody by text. Just let me say that, because I've had many people in my practice who've been broken up with by text. Now, if there is a cowardly thing in the entire world, it's to break up by text.
Or worse, by fax, right? In the old days.
Yeah, well, that would be really awful, except you probably get a smiling face or something.
That's right, something.
I guess you can get that in text, too. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. So for the employer, the entrepreneur, who runs into this as a, you know, from a client, and a client is, you know how they are. Some clients really want to take charge of everything. Right. They want to own it. They want to own it, and they want their name on it. And regardless of you being the consultant, you being the service provider, if you will, they want to take charge.
Mm-hmm. They do. Yeah. And that's when you have to learn this big truth that was really hard for me to learn, because I was raised by two high jackals. And that truth is this: no is a full sentence.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. You hear that all the time. People, it's such a hard time saying no. I have such a hard time saying no. And those are the people, I think, that end up getting taken advantage of the most. Because, you know,
it's easy. One of the examples I used to use, because remember, I used to be a road warrior back in the day. And one of the examples I used to illuminate this concept was I'd talk about Tupperware parties. And people would invite me to Tupperware parties. Now, you know, I'm a person with a business on the road with children and a house and all this kind of stuff. Like, Tupperware parties? No. But I had to really think about it in the beginning because, well, you know, if you come, I'll get this prize and it'll be great and we can play, drop the clothespins in the bottle. Yeah, my favorite.
And, oh, joy.
But here is what I came down to, Robert. Why should I have difficulty saying no to doing something I don't want to do because someone else really wants me to do it?
Good question.
Why am I not able to say thank you for the invitation? No, I don't care to come. And I don't need to give them a reason. I don't need to give someone a reason for why I don't want to do what they want me to do and to feel guilty while doing it.
So we always make up those stories, right?
Yeah, so don't bother.
Yeah.
Just smile and say, thank you, no. I'm going to wash my hair.
Yeah. Okay, that's 20 minutes. What else you got?
Yeah, but it's important for us to recognize that communication is something that we were taught long before we had language. We were taught how to communicate by looking at somebody's face or the tone of their voice, or, you know, we're this little child lying in our crib and somebody looms over us, or, you know, somebody gets down by the side and talks to us eye to eye. We feel safer with that person than the person who's looming over us. You know, I have grandchildren, and when I had my first grandchild, which was a little too early, I had still a son at home who was 6'5". And so he was 16. So he thought it was fun one day, only one day. He, you know, got down, picked up the baby, and spun him around. And I said, put that baby down. And he said, why? He's laughing. I said, he's terrified. Put that baby down. So my son, you know, didn't like that at all. And I said, so he put him down. And I said, now you get down to his size and you say, would you like an airplane ride? And if he says yes, then you can do that. But if he doesn't say yes, you can't. You can't have that level of power over a child to terrify them and pretend, because you made it up, that they're having fun.
Wow. Right?
And so the same thing holds with all of us, right? You know, when you say, can we talk about that to someone, you're opening an opportunity. But when you just go and hide behind your computer monitor because we've got a problem, you're closing the opportunity. So get at eye level with them and say, you know, that didn't work very well. I think we could find a solution. Want to?
Much better. Much better. And you know, I find too that relationships that have conflict and work through the conflict are actually stronger relationships.
Oh, for sure they are.
You know, and I think we miss out on that when we bail. It's like, oh, the first sign of trouble, that's it. You're out of here. I'm not calling you anymore. You know, and it's like the relationship does grow. It gets stronger and it lasts much longer. It's much more resilient.
Let me put a little caveat on that one, though. If you're dating or you're looking to hire some new person, that's a dating process too, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they show you some nasty things and then they quickly apologize for them. Sit up and take notice. Those are red flags. Those are not the ones you say, well, I'm sure we can work it out after we've been together for a while. No, you sit up and say, ooh, don't like that one much. Gotta investigate. Because people invariably show you who they are by what they do, not what they say.
Right.
Always believe behavior, except, and if it's aligned with the words, great. But if there's a question, the words and behavior don't match, believe the behavior.
Actions do speak louder than words. No question.
Well, they do, but we sometimes like to fall back into that place of, I don't feel like confronting and I'm not comfortable with conflict. So I'm going to say, oh, well, maybe I should be nicer, or maybe I should be more tolerant, or maybe there's something wrong with me. And pretty soon, you know, we've denigrated ourselves. And the actual fact is, no, that person's a bully. And if you don't say, no, that doesn't fly with me, what is this? Always give them an option. Never say, no, you can't do that. Say, but this would work. And see if you can provide them with a solution. Then you're actually communicating. You're saying, not only am I telling you that I don't care for this, but I have some faith that we could work it out, and here's my suggestion. And when you do that, you're saying, I want this relationship to work.
I like it. Yeah, much, much, much better way to go. But, you know, a lot of people don't have the skill set to do that. So that's why they want to call you. Let's talk about some of the things you have available, because I know people are going to be asking, like, this is really good stuff. And where's the next step? What do I do next? How do I find out more about you? Let's give them some of that good information.
Sure. Well, if the idea of hijackles intrigues you and you want to know more, because maybe you were raised by one and all of a sudden today you're going, I think I know that person, or you're sitting across the breakfast table from one too frequently, I have a free ebook. It's called How to Spot a Hijackle, and you can get it at hijackles.com. And let me spell that for you. You spell hijack, ALS.com, hijackles. Or if you like to do it differently, you can put an HI on the front of jackals.
Nice.
But either way, hijackles.com. If you want to know more about my work, you go to For Relationship Help, H-E-L-P. So F-O-R, relationshiphelp.com. And surprise, surprise, my YouTube channel has the same name. So For Relationship Help. And a little thing that's there for you every week, every Monday evening at 6:00 Pacific time, I do a live stream show called Help for Toxic Relationships. And you can join in and you can ask your questions in the chat, and I get to as many of them as I can. So there are ways to get your questions answered. I also have a membership program. You'll see that when you go to forrelationshiphelp.com/circles, so that you can see the different levels of membership. It's changing a little bit soon because we've made a few tweaks. So now's the time to get into it because the cost is going up. But it's there for you, and it's minimal cost anyway, even with the new increases for what you get. You want solutions? There are places to get them. You want to build that confidence and competence? You can, and it's all there for you. So be sure that you do that. I have two podcasts. Third one just coming on air, as Robert said. The new podcast is called Focus on Forward, Fuel for a Fearless Future.
Because
I want to now start offering the other side. After we've done the problem solving, what are we moving toward? But the Emotional Savvy program is called the Relationship Help Show. That's where I interview high-level guests and we have great conversations. Then in Save Your Sanity, Help for Handling Hijackles, that's where I talk, and occasionally I have bonus interviews, but where I talk about what to do with the relentlessly difficult people in your life. And that show is also carried on Mental Health News Radio Network. So there are lots of ways for you to get information from me just by sitting behind your computer without picking up the telephone or sending me an email. And then if you want to go further, you can work with me directly and we can solve the problems directly.
I love it. Yeah, I think a lot of people, want to start out slow and they'll get an ebook and they'll download it and they'll look at it and they'll say, okay, well, this is interesting. I'm ready for the next step. What's the next step? And maybe they join the membership. Maybe they start subscribe to your podcasts and, you know, they're getting what they can get there. But, you know, like I always explain to people, you can't get everything from what I call somebody speaking from the podium, because every one of us, we have sort of a unique situation going on that it's hard to sometimes understand the concepts and make them fit exactly where we are. And that's where the one-on-one or the coaching really comes in handy. And that's where it makes a big difference.
Absolutely. I tell people even on the live stream, like I can only give broad stroke answers to these because I don't know who you are. I don't know your unique circumstances. I don't know your background. I don't know how frequently this question has come up. There are so many variables that I can't know to answer you, but I can answer generally for most people when this happens, here's an idea.
Right.
And that's the difference. You can get all kinds of generalized information from my offerings, but if you want me to help you solve your problem or change your life, that's a you and me business.
And you'll get the problem solved a lot quicker that way too. True. A lot less trial and error, because you'll get right to the heart of the issue. And I've worked with Roberta before on things, and she gets right to it. She does not beat around the bush, and gives you the answers that you can put into play today and really start making progress on your relationships. So
if you're ready, if you're willing. If you're just jumping hoops to make somebody happy and you're going with a closed mind, a closed heart, not going to help you. Don't waste your money or your time, except if there's a possibility that if you listened and heard something I said that would open your mind or heart, y'all come.
Y'all come. Spoken like a true Texan, although you're from Canada. So we don't say y'all in Canada, do we?
No, we don't say it. You know, I was speaking of that, Robert, just an amusing story. I was speaking in Texas at a women's event, and I was talking about not procrastinating and how procrastination can really take your business nowhere. And so I had been saying through the presentation, you're probably spending a lot of time, if this rings true, you're probably spending a lot of time getting ready to get ready. I probably said that 5 times in the presentation. So at the end, everybody's coming up and talking to me about things. And there's this one woman holding back. And I'm thinking, ooh, you know, what's going on with her? She didn't like something. She's got a private question. And she just ambled up at the end and she said, thanks, that was great. But I just want to tell you, here in Texas, we're not getting ready to get ready, honey. We're fixing to get ready.
I love it. different parts of the country, huh? We use the language so differently sometimes. I love it. Yeah, always learning something new. I want to thank you for being here today. This was a lot of fun.
It was.
And
thank
I'm sure
you.
People got value out of it. And like I said, it's available. If you're not already subscribing to the Coach's Corner podcast, make sure you do so. We've got a lot more great guests coming up. And gosh, it's been a whirlwind this week. We've had 3 already. It's been just a blast. So I want to thank you for being here. Okay. Just want to leave you with a couple more things before we wrap up for the day here. I've got a gift for you. Everyone likes a gift, right? You go to my website, robertimbrialli.com/top10. And you could download a newly updated report, Top 10 Marketing Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. There's quite the story behind this. It was actually the very first article I wrote back in 1991 that got published all over the place. And it was about time to update it and bring it up to speed for the new digital age. So Top 10 Marketing Mistakes, How to Avoid Them. Just go robertimbrialli.com/top10. All right. With that, if you want to drop me an email, let me know your thoughts on today's program or any other program. Or if you have guests that you think we should be interviewing, send me an email, robert@ultimatewealth.com. Still the email I've been using since 1999. Real proud of that for some reason. I guess it really doesn't matter today. I know people change their emails so quickly, but it's one I've been using for quite some time. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing this with your friends. And we'll do this again real soon. Thanks for watching, everyone.